I'm used to speaking in contexts where, when I say good morning, I get a good response back from people. And that, I've got to say, that was not terribly good. So we'll try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's not bad. Not bad. Well, it's good to be back with you today. Some of you may remember I've been here before. Some of you may not. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a Baptist minister. I am currently doing what is known as portfolio ministry. This is a new category for Baptist ministers that has recently been invented, and I have been transferred to it. And it's because I do a variety of stuff. So I mainly mentor and coach church leaders, some who are pastors, some who are academics, some that have other roles. I teach, I speak at conferences. I've just come back from Norway, where I have been speaking at a conference of Pentecostal and Baptist academics and denominational staff. That was a bit scary. And then of Baptist, the Baptist Union Leaders Conference in Norway as well. So doing that. I also write for publication. I've got a chapter coming out and a book later this month. I've got a book coming out this summer, which I've done with a colleague. I'm a member at Shoreham by Sea Baptist Church, and been there for a couple of years. I don't have any formal role in the church, but I've been a little bit busy recently because the pastor, as you may know, Ray, who'd been there many years, retired early on health grounds. So I've been doing a number of bits of stuff there. So that's a bit about me. I live in Stenning, wonderful rural place. I'm a Londoner, so I'd lived for 42 years in West London beforehand. So Stenning is literally a breath of fresh air. So anyway, I'm going to continue this morning, as you've gathered, the series you've been doing, looking at parables. And the parable that we're going to look at this morning is one that I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on. It's a bit unusual, as we'll see as we go through. Now, the context of this bunch of parables in Luke's gospel is that some Pharisees, they were the Jewish religious leaders who really loved the law. They were very obedient to the law as they understood it. One of them had been muttering about Jesus, about the fact that he welcomed people who you really shouldn't be welcoming, people who were religiously dirty. They shouldn't be welcomed, but Jesus welcomed them. So he'd been muttering about Jesus. So in response, Jesus told a series of parables all about welcoming people, welcoming strangers, but in particular, welcoming the poor, for reasons that will become clear a little bit further on as we look through this parable. So, of course, we look at the parable not just to understand what it meant in Jesus' time about welcoming the poor, but actually to understand what God wants of us today. Amen with that? So just to remind you also, and to tell you if you've not been here when I've been preaching before, I have a practice of asking questions. I mean, all preachers ask questions, don't they? And mostly they tell you the answer. And you may remember that I ask questions, and mostly you tell me the answer. And I'm going to wander around with the microphone when we do that. Not so much so you can be heard here, but because this is being recorded, so people forever, certainly for the next few years, will be able to hear your voice. Isn't that great? So that's where we're going this morning. So let's begin with this parable, which, as I say, is in some ways a little strange. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What's this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master's taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." Now, in Luke's gospel, as you probably are aware, the phrase "rich man" is always used negatively. For example, Luke 6:24, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." And before you think this is about somebody else, in terms of our world, you, every one of you who are here in this room, are rich. You are part of the richest part of people in our world. No matter how poor you might feel in terms of the UK context, in terms of the world context, you're rich. So this parable is about us. Us rich people who live here in the UK. The word manager, it conjures up for us today. We all know what a manager is today. But that word had a very different meaning in Jesus' day. The role of a manager there was very different. So a manager had access to all of their master's assets. All of their money, all of their possessions, all of their goods. The manager had access to them to do whatever the manager felt was right with them. They acted as an agent. So all of the business dealings, they weren't done by the rich man. They were done by the rich man's manager. So they had enormous power and enormous privilege. They were in an enviable position because they had access to everything. They want some money. They want whatever they want. They've got it. They've got access to it. So this manager was accused by his boss of wasting his possessions. That word wasting is an interesting word, actually, because there's a parable that I'm sure you know well, the parable of the prodigal son. And exactly the same, the New Testament was written in Greek, exactly the same Greek word appears in that parable saying this. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. That word translated squandered there is exactly the same as the word wasted here. So, notice that in this story, the manager didn't say, "It wasn't me, Gov. It was someone else." He knew he was guilty as charged. He'd been wasting. So, he stood to lose his position, stood to lose his income. He had plenty of that. His lifestyle, he had a very rich boss. So his lifestyle would have been everything that he wanted he could do. His status, being a manager of a very rich man, he had incredible status. He was going to lose that, even going to lose his housing. And then, who else is going to take him on? What was your last job? How did you leave? You got sacked because you squandered your master's possessions. No, thank you. So he was in a difficult fix. So this is what happened next. He said to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors and he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil. That's a lot of olive oil, by the way. 900 gallons, that is a lot of olive oil. Just think of the price of olive oil. You get the point. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat. That's a lot of wheat. He said, take your bill, make it 800. So the manager's plan here is to make sure that he would find a welcome from other people. Because other people were now in debt to him. Because he'd written off all of this for them. So they were, in that society, if someone did something for you, you were in debt to them. So he expected something back from them all. They knew that. They were entering into an arrangement where they personally became responsible for caring for him, looking after him. And these promissory notes that were written, they were binding. So the rich man couldn't say, hey, it was 900 you owed, not 450. The new thing written was actually legally binding. So the rich man, to use a colloquial expression, he's stuffed. Not a lot he can do about this. So then this rather strange thing happened, and this is part of the weirdness of this parable. You don't see this coming. The master commended the dishonest manager because he'd acted shrewdly. You didn't see that coming if you didn't know the parable, did you? What a strange thing. But the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are people of the light. I tell you, this is Jesus speaking here. And this is a bit weird as well. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Right, so it's important to notice, let's get a bit of context around this, that the manager was not commended for being dishonest. His boss didn't say to him, well done for being so dishonest. Ah, it's well done for being shrewd. And notice that he still got the sack. He's still out of work. He's still gone. He was commended for being shrewd. Now that word shrewd, I thought I knew what it meant, but I wasn't absolutely sure. So I did an internet search. Of course, that's how you do everything these days, isn't it? And here's the definition that I got from one of the dictionaries. I forget which one. A shrewd person is able to understand and judge a situation quickly and to use this understanding to their own advantage. Ah. So not just to understand what's going on very quickly, but to be able to use that knowledge for their own advantage. Well, that's a pretty accurate description of this manager, isn't it? He realized what was going on and he used the situation to his own advantage. Now, notice there's a question coming in a moment, so just to help you get ready for that. Notice here that he operated according to the world's values, not God's values. And later in the parable, we'll come back to that. He continued to act dishonestly, using his master's wealth for his own benefit, which is why he was being sacked, of course, because that's exactly what he'd been doing. Using his master's wealth to gain friends and to ensure that he has a comfortable future. So let me ask you a really difficult question. What is it, do you think, that Jesus is asking us to do in verse 9? When Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. What do you think that Jesus might have been asking the people there and us to do? It's a bit strange, isn't it? What do you think? Any ideas? Lots of puzzled faces. Most of Jesus' parables, you read them and it's obvious, isn't it? You think, yeah, okay. I know you had a sermon recently on the parable of the sower. Quite clear how that works. And there was another, I was looking through your website yesterday, and I saw another one. I forget what the other one was. But, you know, parables that, obvious application, but this one's a bit weird. Yeah. Would you like some help? Yeah, I thought so.
Doesn't
Ah. Thank you.
To share your resources in this world with those who are less fortunate.
Very good. Very good. And what's, can I ask you another question? What do you think is significant about sharing it with those that are less fortunate? Any thoughts about that? I'm going to unpack that in a minute, but you might be there ahead of me.
Because it's God that's given you those resources. You can feel that it's your own initiative and your own creativity that has generated them, but God has enabled you to get there.
Have you been reading my notes?
No.
Very good, very good. Did you want to say something as well? Yeah.
I just wondered if it was a bit like the guys who were given the talents and some used them, and one chap dug a hole and buried it. That's what it reminded me of.
Very good.
Not using what God has blessed you with.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else? You're doing really well. Yeah. We're on a roll now. Oh, well, let me get there first.
Right. Can I just ask if the people that he let off with the money, were they worthy or were they just... It doesn't say that they, you know, especially needed the money, did it?
No, not at all. Not at all. There's no indication that those people... They would have been wealthy themselves. I mean, to have, you know, to have borrowed 900 gallons of olive oil, I'm quite sure what you do with 900 gallons of olive oil. That's a big meal. But the fact they were good for it, so they themselves would have been wealthy. So, yeah, well spotted. Okay. I'll just rest that over there for a moment. So, notice here that the reward that is coming to people in what Jesus is saying here is from God, not from those who received stuff from the person giving. Now, in New Testament times, so back in Jesus' day, this meant that the recipients had no resources. Because the way things worked was that, you know, I give you something, you're in my debt, you give me something. That's how society worked most of the time. You gave expecting to receive. Now, I invite you round to my house for a banquet. I expect when you're having a banquet, you invite me to your house for a banquet. That's how it worked. That's how society worked, how relationships worked. But these were people who could not give stuff back, i.e. they were the poor, which is where this whole series of parables, we're looking at one, sits. So this is about giving to the poor, to those in need, with about, as the lady over there said earlier on, without expecting anything back from them. And this shows the reality of our discipleship. And we're going to unpack this in a moment. Actually, well, let's read the next few verses. So as Jesus continued to apply this, so that we're coming now to Jesus applying the parable. He said, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, the physical stuff that we have, who's going to trust you with true riches, i.e. heavenly stuff? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" So there is a sense in which all of us, everyone here this morning, you and me, are like managers in New Testament times. We are all managers. In this sense, God, our master, has given us a lot of stuff. We already identified that we are among the rich in our world. Yeah? So God has given us a lot of assets, a lot of stuff that aren't actually our own. Who do they belong to? God. Let's do a quick list. So just think about, quickly, the stuff that God has given us. What's God given us? Oh.
I said house.
House, yes. Say that again?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. What else?
Really important basic utilities like the light when we switch a switch on and clean water when we run a tap.
Yeah. What else?
Health.
Yep.
Friends.
Food.
Yep. What else? I heard the voice. I didn't see the mouth move. So there we go.
Life.
Life, yes. What else?
Relationships.
Yep.
And our families.
Yep. Anything else? I think that's just about everything, isn't it? Breath. Our breath. Is that what you said? Yeah, breath. Everything that we have, everything that we have actually is given to us by God, but we don't actually own it. They are, you know, for those of us, and I imagine it's nearly all of us here this morning, we would say, Jesus is our Lord, wouldn't we? Yeah? Would we? Yeah, yeah. Some not so sure, that's okay. So Jesus is our Lord. So if he is Lord, he is either, you will have heard this before, Lord of all, or not Lord at all. So that means that he's in charge of everything that we have. So we are like this manager. Because, you know, the day is coming when our time will come to an end. We are under notice. I mean, we might live another 50 years, some of you. Some of you perhaps not 50, 20, 10, but we never know. I was reading in the Baptist Times News about 2 weeks ago. Baptist minister my age, was walking along the beach. I forget where, it's further south along the coast from us, with his son and daughter. And he fell to the ground and died. He had a massive stroke. We actually, just underlines, we actually don't know how long we've got. But we are under notice because we do know that actually there will come a time when we will die. So how do we handle the assets that we've got? You know, how we handle them reveals a lot about us. What we do with all the stuff that we've got, our riches in our world, reveals a lot about us. Do we give to the poor and the needy? Do we welcome those who are less well off than us? Those that can't return our hospitality? Those that can't give back gifts to us? And Jesus says that if we cannot handle these temporary earthly assets, we're not going to be able to handle heavenly ones. So here's a question which I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud. This is a question for you to think about, and I'm going to go ask you the question, then I'm going to be quiet for a moment while you think about it. I'm not after any out loud answers to this question. So the question is this. Does your conduct, does my conduct, follow the values of this world, or the values of heaven? Worldly values, godly values, in the way we use all the stuff that we have. Let's be quiet for a moment, then we'll come to the final verse. Jesus said this, finishing this parable section, this particular parable in Luke. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot both serve God and money. That is really striking. This is Jesus speaking. You can't serve two masters. Hate the one, love the other, devoted to one, despise the other. So if you're devoted to money, Jesus is saying, you're actually despising God. If you love money, you're hating God. You know, all of us, myself included, will have to give an account of how we chose to manage the assets that God has given to us. Now, I prepared this sermon before I went to Norway, so it was nearly 3 weeks ago when I did thinking and preparation for this. And as I sat and worked this through, I felt God challenge me really hard about various things to do with my own assets. So I've made some decisions to do some things differently in response to what I felt God saying to me coming out of this parable. All of us, as I said just now, will have to give an account of how we've chosen to manage the assets that God has given to us. I'm going to stop speaking. I've finished. And I'm going to stop. Good things for preachers to do, to stop when they finished, by the way. And give a few moments quiet, opportunity to you to continue to listen to God, to respond to God, and lead us in prayer, and then hand back to Rob. Did I get the name right? That's good. Let's be quiet for a moment. Father God, we thank you for all that you've given to us. We recognize afresh that everything that we have has come from you. Our life itself, our health, everything that we own, the relationships that we benefit from, all that we have has come from you and still belongs to you, and you allow us to use all our riches. Father God, help us to be people who are shrewd for the kingdom of God, that we use what you have given us well and wisely, in accordance with your values, values of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.